The Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM, a 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Absolutely. Cameron Tilbury, we hear you now, we hear you there, we couldn't hear you before, you could hear us, but you see, the magic of the Midweek Drivettes, it works, hurrah!
It works.
Yeah, exactly. So, are you in a cafe?
There we go. Yes, I have a meeting here in Nashville, just off of Music Row, coming up in a few minutes, so...
And there we are. We also heard earlier in a pre-record that we were putting together with that wonderful man, Nick Elliott, and, of course, Kat, that actually, when you go to Nashville, the first thing you actually see when you kind of step out of the various thing is a huge, and I mean huge, Roy Orbison building. Is that correct? He's gone. He's there. He's gone. He's you know, suddenly... Now, as I was saying, is that correct? Do you see the Roy Orbison building when you're in Nashville?
Yes, the Roy Orbison building is downtown.
That's good, because I like to set the
obvious
scene.
Obvious. Yeah.
But that's all right. Obvious, but not vulgar. That's the important thing. So, you know, we don't like vulgarity. Let us motor on, because, Derek, I know, obviously, you don't have your number one producer, Caroline, with us today, but we give a special sort of shout-out to Caroline, because hopefully she might be...
She's at home. Yeah,
looking after all sorts of wonderful things, basically.
My dinner, I hope.
Traditional, Cameron, traditional, but at the same time, somehow magical. Yeah. Your first experience, of course, of Cameron Tilbury musical track was indeed on your first studio appearance, just back last year.
Had a nice Christmas record. I say we could play Christmas records all year through. I love them.
Well, we could, but we're not, because Amber's Drive are the band to actually play. Now, when I first looked at Amber's Drive, I thought, well, they look like three fine young chaps with an interesting dress sense, which is, interesting in all sorts of ways. And to such an extent that I thought, you know, we could actually use the Cameron Tilbury sort of chip, but I thought, no, we'll actually give you one. I actually sort of went and purchased across the internet an original copy of what we're about to hear. I know. It's amazing. It has its own magical stuff about it, and the number of times we actually will mention the M word, David, will be actually sort of scored regularly. I think I've already clocked up about five or six magical references. There, he's up to double figures now, as the tally chart works through this whole system. But David, are you ready to experience a bit of Cameron Tilbury's musical choice for today?
Definitely ready for it.
Well then, bearing in mind that Tessa Snart, no relation to Captain Cold, although curiously enough he's become a good guy, actually, in recent times, because Legends of Tomorrow features Captain Snart, or Captain Cold, otherwise known as Leonard Snart, your relative, clearly, in the sort of good sort of aspects of that. We'll talk more about that. Cameron, the floor is now yours. And so we have total silence. Oh, I shall say that again, Cameron. The floor is now yours, with interruptions courtesy of your mobile phone and possibly some kind of dodgy signal somewhere in Nashville.
Live on the US, I always do that. A few years ago,
this is not looking very good at all, is it? I mean, if you were at home, you'd sort of think, I'm really irritated now. You know, I mean, Derek might just be young enough to remember a chap called Norman Collier. His whole routine was based on that whole premise, basically. Yeah, and then the phone would go down. Shall we actually introduce Amber's Drive and take a picture of it? Yes. So let's hear it.
Oh, put your arms around me. Oh, put your arms around me. Oh, take a picture of it. Underneath the city lights, the heart of Broadway comes alive. Framed reflections in the windows of young lovers passing by. Oh, put your arms around.
Tessa, do you think Cameron will still be there then?
Oh, I hope so.
As Emma, you rightly said, oh, poor Cameron, the Nashville Waves, maybe it's Snowzilla.
It's been blown away.
Cameron, we obviously had to play the tune there. You are back with us. Give us some information about the wonderful band that we've just been listening to.
Amber's Driver are essentially kind of not a, they're not a unique story in Nashville. They're three songwriters that got together, did a lot of writing, and nobody was cutting their music. So they decided they'd cut it themselves. They pack every venue they play here in town. Jolie has actually written with a couple of the guys in the band. And they're just really popular, and they're also going to be our National Access Super Pick of the Week this week on National Access. So you're getting kind of a sneak preview.
As ever, we like to feel as though we're just complimentary to the great Nashville Access scenario, but we need to find out what the assembled team made of. Take a picture of it by Amber's Drive, Derek Hamley. Right.
Very much like Southern Brothers and Quither, Arms of Mary, but I prefer that to that. I'd fall asleep listening to that. Sorry.
If you're suffering from insomnia, a bit of Amber's Drive.
Oh, yeah. That would work. Yeah.
Might work well. Not the Amber Nectar, but a different kind of line from that perspective. David Fox.
Yeah, very relaxing, quite pleasant for this time of the evening, especially if you're driving home at this time.
But don't fall asleep at the wheel.
Precisely,
that
yes.
That could be dangerous.
Important, you know, it's always caring. And Emily Jones.
Well, I quite like the sort of male country kind of voice. I thought they had a nice tone. And again, I definitely would listen to it maybe when I was in bed, not while I was driving, to be honest.
Peterborough's very own Tessa Leanne Smart.
Smart. I get that a lot, actually. I thought it was very good. I thought it had like a very, it sounded very Rascal Flatts like, the country ballad. I love Rascal Flatts.
Right. Have you encountered Rascal Flatts, Cameron?
I like country rock.
I haven't met, actually, one of the guys in the band, Jay DeMarcus, we met just having dinner one night in town.
So there we are, you see, the Rascal Flatts. Which I didn't even realise the name was a real name. It exists in every sense of the word.
Yep.
Brilliant. Emma Tinson.
Yeah, no, I thought that was a nice change, actually, because, Cameron, you normally bring us something a bit more upbeat, kind of funky country track, but that was quite nice and relaxing.
And strangely, one for the Instagram generation of take a picture of it. You know, that kind of notion of you don't have validation without taking a photograph, saying you're a selfie, therefore you exist. Cameron, at least we managed to sort out the whole question of life, the universe, and various other factors. We've got magic coming up from David Fox. Oh, sure. When do you wish to do
David Fox?
The David Fox magic piece? Because
I'm good with you, Alex. Whenever you'd like me to do a little bit of magic.
Well, that's really Emma who makes the decision.
Emma wants to see.
She calls the shots. Meanwhile, Tess, would you like to throw those last two questions to Cameron Tilbury, please?
Of course. Have you had a good telephonic link with us this evening?
Well, it hasn't been really, has it, really? Let's face it, it's been pathetic. From the point of view of good, I mean, if we were actually scoring the first link on behalf of the telecommunications scenario of America, Mar Bell, sorry, it's a disaster, but never mind.
There you go.
I should have said, have you had a disastrous...
No, it's all right. You're working through this. So the next question is?
And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next week, kind of on and off, but yes, I'll be back next week.
Well, we said, did you actually move position, Cameron? I mean, because the second time round, we seem to be a lot better, really. Did you move position? Clearly he's moved back again.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit there, but, you know. But the moral of the story is, if in doubt, move.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
Hurrah! And I have a slight issue to start off with. A minor one, but nevertheless, I think from the point of view of honest, decent and true authenticity and so on, even Derek Hamley would sort of address this. Derek, of course, we haven't mentioned 10th Planet Events, the go-to place if you want absolutely perfectly formed and superb science fiction conventions. Is that correct?
It's spot on, yes. We do our best.
Tessa, what did you find out about Derek Hamley when you were doing your research for the show?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I can confirm that Tessa has a list of notes right here.
She'll be on the case. However, that isn't really what I want to address as yet, because also we have David Fox back with us, and I know you were duly impressed when David actually worked magic with your good self telephonically. Even Emma was impressed. Yeah, I know. It's amazing. But Anna, why on your Facebook page does it say that you live in Alcatraz, New Mexico, and you're from Alcatraz, New Mexico? Because that's a lie, my girl, in this dimension. That's an untruth.
Jersey doesn't come up on Facebook as a place, and truthfully, it doesn't exist. It's a figment of everyone's imagination. And the nearest sort of, if I have to sum up Jersey, it's like being trapped on a rock. So the nearest I could get to it was Alcatraz.
And there you have it. Once again, a reason why Facebook is not necessarily the best journalistic source to actually find out where people are actually
not
based.
Not necessarily factual.
Well, it's one of the big four. You know, you got your Google, you got your Amazon, you got your Facebook, and you got your Apple.
A 10th Planet.
Number five, precisely. Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, they've found it out there, haven't they, Derek? You know, they've found it again. Or at least they found the place where it should be, but they haven't actually seen it as yet.
Yeah.
That's because the Cybermen are working there.
Exactly.
Quite clearly. Anna, what sort of a week have you had?
Well, we've been stock-taking at work, which sounds a bit weird for a library, but basically what we've been doing is checking all the things that are on the shelf in the right place and things like that. So it's been a bit of a mundane week, but it's also been a week where you can see progress, because obviously you have to take books off the shelf and check they're all okay and don't need rebinding. And yeah, it's been busy, really.
In Jersey, I presume people have not actually sort of taken to that well-worn traditional practice in the north of England of drawing genitalia on their library books.
No, though we've had someone who took a scalpel to one and took out a cookery recipe out
you
of
see,
the
and I ask you, what is the more dangerous?
I
you
can't
know?
Believe that.
Emma sends some shocked, you
That's
know.
It's worse than drawing in it.
Exactly.
It is.
You know, a scalpel actually removing pages.
Yeah, I mean, it was sharp. It couldn't have been scissors because, no, it was a neat cut. So all I can think of is, I mean, it would only have cost them 10p to photocopy the wretched page. But no, they chose to cut the page out. It wasn't even an old book. It was a relatively new one. So we were a bit miffed, to say the least.
I wouldn't claim to be a psychoanalyst on this, but bottom line, after a training session on Saturday, I'd say the person obviously had issues. Anyway, that's by the by. I don't want to progress too much with respect to that. Whom do you wish to have a brief chat with, Anna? I mean, do you want to speak to Emily Jones, Tessa Snart, Derek Hamley, Magician David Fox, or indeed Emma Tennyson?
Oh, Emma. Yes, I'll go for Emma Tennyson.
She wins every time. Aww. That's why we put her in charge of the show, actually, Derek. It's just a fact of the matter. You know. Anyway, go Emma and go Anna.
Oh, who's first? Me. Well, Anna, can you tell me if you've been on any adventures lately? Because you always seem to be up to something.
Yeah, not really. That's one of the problems of being on an island, actually, is that adventures are few and far between. I mean, you can walk the island in probably 2 hours. Like, it's only 45 square miles. So from that point of view, no adventures. My adventure will start on Monday next week when I'm off to London. So I hope to do some serious walking, digging and delving around various museums, archives and churches. So I'm looking forward to the break.
It all adds to the quality of life. David, without kind of going too much away, and I think we'll utilise Philip Herdwood for this in a few moments, but what are you going to demonstrate for... I mean, let's face it, Derek has never seen your magic at work. Emily, completely new. And Tessa, well...
Tessa's very excited.
Just stepping out of Peterborough is magical enough for Tessa at times.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
amazing. So what can we look forward to, you know, sort of pre-tease ahead here? And, of course, the listener, who will have to just use their mind.
Well, I would certainly enjoy doing some card magic for the guys here tonight. A little bit of icebreaker magic is always nice. They get to know people. Yeah. And obviously, if any of the callers want to participate, that is always fantastic
I think,
Alex.
We will have a contribution from Phil Hardwood in a few moments with respect to that. So, yeah, that will definitely sort of be on the case, so to speak. For those of people who are actually sort of wondering, what does Phil Hardwood actually sound like? I think, Anna, you might have actually co-presented In Dulwich with Philip Hardwood. Remember, of course, he did this for us.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Except, of course, Claire is actually having a doctor's appointment at this moment, so it's okay. Yeah, I know. She'll be here.
Sending love.
She'll be here bright and early tomorrow morning. Emily, well, bless her, hasn't even got diddly squat in terms of identification, but still, never mind, that's okay.
She'll get there.
It's all part and parcel of that rich tapestry of life and so on, so that will be happening. Meanwhile, Emily, I am going to actually ask you to throw those last two questions to Anna Lewis, having eased her way through the programme and at least managed to get a nice crisp line between ourselves.
Yes.
And, yeah, exactly.
Away from Alcatraz.
Nice. Yeah. Or Nashville. What can we say?
Anna, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have, thank you.
And do you think you'll be joining us again next week?
I'm not too sure, because I might be in the middle of something next Wednesday.
No!
I'll
probably be
somewhere, so I can't make promises, but I'll certainly let you guys know.
As I frequently say, you do not want to mess with Anna Lewis when she's stuck in the middle of something. It's just not that. So she will return, but maybe not next week.
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teens on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Yay, of course, Tessa, you have done your research with respect to Philip Hardwood, have you not?
I have.
That's who it can be now. Welcome back, Philip Hardwood.
And thank you very much indeed. Lovely to be back. How are you all there in the studio?
Let's start off with Derek Hanley. How are you, Derek?
I'm very well, thank you.
From, of course, 10th Planet Events. And here's a one for you, Derek. Do you know there is a big connection between Philip Hardwood and Graham Harper?
Go on, tell me.
And science fiction.
Tell me.
Episode of Star Cops, Philip Hardwood did the voiceover for the landing of spaceships and rockets going off in all sorts of ways.
Excellent.
That's keeping it real, isn't it? It's genius stuff.
I should have known.
And moreover, it might be added as well also too, he said emphatically, I also did some Doctor Who voices for Graham Harper.
Yeah, yeah.
I also played, when I say played, I mean it wasn't like this at the National, you know. No, it was a little character called the Grask, who was in the Sarah Jane Adventures, which was a kind of a spin-off, and it was all done up in Wales, where they do the Doctor Who's. And it was this peculiar little kind of creature, this little alien, this little green fellow with horns. And the actual actor who plays him in a little rubber suit is a little Scottish guy.
Jimmy V.
Jimmy V.
Yeah, exactly. And I've not met him, but apparently he's a really smashing guy. But they couldn't have and he's from Scotland.
Yeah, can I have a Scotsman doing things on Doctor Who?
You can have a Scottish monster,
Peter Capaldi.
You know. So they decided to bring... So Graham Harper brought me in. It was quite an amusing story. He brought me in and said, what kind of voice should we have for this character? And he showed me the footage. And I just thought it'd be rather fun to have a little monster or a little alien who thinks he's a big alien. So we sort of played around with that idea. So it gave him quite a deep voice, you know, and it actually sort of seemed to work, you know.
And strange as it may seem, we actually have a Scottish person in the studio with us. He's a magician. He's David Fox. Yay! A short-term memory there. So David, of course...
There used to be a magician on Irish radio.
Well, we've taken it a stage further. We had the tap
dancing
on radio.
There was an Irish musician, but don't forget there was also a ventriloquist on British radio as well, Archie Andrews.
Exactly.
Now, can you imagine? That's going to fool no one. Gosh, he's doing that without moving his antennae.
Well,
Phil, we
have welcomed you back, not only to obviously say a happy hi to some of the fine folk that you have lent your voice to. Of course, who could ever forget the classic?
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Because Tessa's with us from Peterborough, Claire isn't, but Emily Jones is, and Emma Tenson is also in the house. And it's her challenge, of course, the lass from Surrey who once got caught in the revolving doors of the Daily Mail. It could happen to anybody, Emma, honestly.
I told you that so long ago, I can't believe you remember.
He's got an encyclopedic memory. He never forgets a thing.
Emma has set the challenge for David to, with your assistance, Philip, develop this magic on radio. Emma's experienced it from your point of view at the other end of a phone line.
Yes,
she's now
the
in the studio. David, no pressure, but Philip Hurdwood, he doesn't suffer. I mean, he's the father of Rachel Hurdwood, ace actress and Hollywood superb. So,
well,
the pressure's on.
Philip, are you set to ready to guide us through this? I mean, you're probably asking questions as well, and then David will sort of. How would you like to play this, David?
Well, it's lovely to hear Philip's voice again today, and lovely to be able to interact with Philip. And I thought it'd be nice today just to do something interacting with one of the callers, a little bit of magic.
You ready for that, Phil?
What I've got here, Phil.
I'm on tenterhooks now. Go on.
and we will describe things as best we can. What's going on here to involve everybody with the magic?
Just to set the scene, we've got Derek on one side, we've got Emily, Tessa, and Emma on the other side, and I can't see a thing because I'm behind screens,
behind the monitors. So the guys here.
By all angles.
Are they all looking fierce there? And so sort of, come on, entertain me.
Derek has his arms folded. That's always an interesting sign.
Lovely. Slightly combative, doesn't it? No pressure then.
No.
What
I have here today, guys, I've got a pack of cards. Each of the cards has a number written on the back of it. Now, I was up all last night putting numbers on the backs of playing cards. Why, you may ask? Well, it's simple, because I have no friends. Nothing better to do with my time, Philip. So, now, what I need you to do, Philip, is just name a playing card. What card would you like, sir? Just name it out loud.
Well, I was going to do a tribute to Lemmy, but I was going to say the Ace of Spades.
Do you want to go for the Ace of Spades? Why not?
Why not the Ace of Spades?
Let's go for the Ace of Spades. So we'll take the Ace of Spades, remove the Ace of Spades from the pack. Now, that is a black card, sir. Let's go for a red card this time. What red card would you like, Philip?
What red card? What about Queen of Hearts?
The Queen of Hearts. You want to go for the Queen of Hearts? Beautiful. We'll take the Queen of Hearts out of the pack. Now, we've got a heart. We've got a spade. Let's go for a different suit this time, sir. What would you like? Would you like to go for a diamond or a club?
I think we'll go for a club.
Go for a club. Fantastic. Why not? What club would you like?
What about the Seven of Clubs?
Seven of Clubs. Thank you very much. Beautiful. So we'll pop the Seven of Clubs. Now, we've got three cards on the table. Before I left the house today, I actually took a photograph, Philip, and ladies and gents in the studio, of three cards. Can you see the photograph there? I'll hold it up there so Alex can see it. Can you see it, Derek? And Tess, Emma and Emily can see that.
They're
there. Now,
nodding.
It's got three cards with 17, 49 and 23 written on the backs of them. So let's just turn over the Ace of Spades. Ah, now it has the number 23 on it, which actually matches with the last card in the photograph. Let's turn over the Queen of Hearts. It's a number 49. Now, if the Seven of Clubs doesn't have the number 17 on it, Philip, I'll hold you responsible for the trick not working. Do you want to turn over the card there, Emma?
Can I shuffle them at this point or not? Well,
can I get a drum roll off someone?
Let's see what's in the back of the Seven of Clubs.
17!
17, 17, 49, 23. The numbers on the photograph match. I think Philip deserves a big round of applause for that. That is fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, and then you finish it with, I mean, what do? You saw Alex in half. Yeah,
exactly, that's going to happen. Keep listening. That's something, a big surprise is going to happen later, yes. But
that
thank you,
really
Philip,
good.
For your help. Thank you.
I loved it. That was brilliant. And what was I going to say? That was speaking about Lemmy, as I was, I tangentially there just a little while ago. And, of course, you know, we must say rest in peace to an icon, a rock and roll legend and all that. But my brother, brother was lives in West Wales in St David's, and there's a hotel and he, just down the edge of the town, and he knows the owner quite well. He was there with his own little Jack Russell Terrier one day a few years back, and he heard this, he saw this little kind of poodle, this little mimsy little poodle coming towards him and his dog. And my brother thought, oh, well, I'm sure it'll be okay. And then and the dogs were sort of sniffing around each other. And the next thing, he hears this anguished voice saying, come here, come here, come here. And this figure loomed into view and scooped up this this little quivering little poodle. And it was Lemmy. And it was Lemmy who was worried that his little poodle, can you believe Lemmy with a poodle, that Lemmy was going to pick, was worried that his little dog was going to get bitten by Jack Russell. Now, isn't that just funny? I thought that was wonderful.
And just strange.
So that was real rock and roll. Well, it may not have been a poodle, but it was certainly a very small dog anyway. Tiny little quivering dog.
Philip, yourself, J.R.R. Tolkien, David Bowie, Rod Stewart, Jack Lord, myself, we're all Capricorns. It's what happens, you know. It's what we do, you know.
This is true. People don't expect. You haven't got a poodle, have you?
Strangely, no. But you know, it's a possibility.
But given your choice of dog,
yes.
I mean, if you were to have a dog, would you have a poodle? Would you buy a poodle?
I'd probably go for a sheepdog, actually, a mongrel sheepdog.
A sheepdog. Yeah. Oh, I say, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, a sheepdog. I mean, you don't get much call for sheepdogs, are there?
But
you
students.
Are,
oh, different line entirely. Herding them together. It's very important.
They need rounding up occasionally.
Come by.
Come on, SA.
Just the news team. They're just gathering. That's all.
Intellectual. 2:05. Come on. That's the way to do it.
Do you know, I think I'll apply that next year. Anyway, moving on from that.
One lecturer and his dog. I sense a new TV series coming on here.
I think we'll go into partnership from the point of view. As I said earlier, Tessa, you've done your research on Philip Hurtwood. What have you found out that you'd like to put to the Hurtster?
Well, I found
nothing that the police might get their hands on.
So I would just like to know if you've got any current projects on in terms of voiceovers or things you're doing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just literally, about 20 minutes ago, finished the edit on a game voice I'm doing for a particular German company. They do lots of video games, and I'm playing this kind of... it was his death scene I just did, so my voice is very sore because he was screaming and yelling, and he's a kind of a mage, as they call them, which is a sort of a sagacious old... A wizard.
A wizard.
Exactly.
And oh, shut up!
Not that one.
So, yeah, so I just did that just now. And other projects are a big writing project, there's a couple of writing projects, one of which both of which are looking very hopeful. I've got a producer for one, and it's a film, a feature film, set in various parts of the Eurozone. And the other is a kind of a journey of self-discovery set in the Carpathian Mountains of Romania. And I'm working on that with some Romanian friends and colleagues of mine, and that's coming together really, really well. So those are the sorts of things. In the meantime, yeah, plenty of voiceovers and, odds and bits and pieces of that kind. So it's mainly voiceovers that keep the kind of the wolf from the door, as it were.
And how is Rachel these days, Philip?
Speaking of wolves, she's very well. My daughter, Rachel, is doing very well. She's just got back a few days ago from Nepal, where she goes once a year because she did a film there about 4 years ago or so, and she just fell in love with the area, and she stayed with a family up in the mountains, really, really sort of primitive kind of living arrangements and all that. But the children are absolutely charming as anything, and they're all learning English, and she sponsored one of the children and so on. And and she just got back the other day. She was there for 10 days. She said it was unmercifully cold, but the views and the mountain air and the sense of spirituality and peacefulness and all the rest of it was absolutely wonderful. In the meantime, she's hard, you know, at work auditioning for new projects, and doing very well. So hopefully one of these will come to fruition. We will wait and see.
And it's high time she joined us on the programme as well. But anyway, that's by the by.
Well, indeed, well, she doesn't live at home, of course, anymore. Oh, no. She's bought a flat up in one of the coolest parts of London, up in just off Brick Lane. So it's, smashing. Bob Muggs, though, here has been going out painting and decorating every weekend.
It's what fathers do, so I'm told.
I noticed
you'd actually shared a wonderful journalistic interview, a journalistic item here with a reporter who's actually finding the smoke too much. Look at your Facebook site here, Philip. And I see, obviously, you're seeing Grace Under Pressure there. So what was it that sort of led you, Philip, to actually introduce or share Steve Albrighton's video about smoke, which proved too much for him, really?
Which was this now? Sorry, I beg your pardon.
This is a moment, the reporter who just couldn't, and you've got basically a video of smoke and a reporter. I want to find out really the reason you shared this. Why did you want to share this with your Facebook audience, Phil?
Oh, this one. Oh, yeah, that was just entertaining, wasn't it? I just thought that was... You mean the fellow who's... When they were burning crops of of cannabis or marijuana plants. Yeah. I just thought it was so funny. I thought it was extremely entertaining. Have they all seen it there or not?
He's getting high. They're watching it now.
He is, indeed.
It's a bit like a quick way of actually experiencing a midweek drive. Anyway.
It is very funny. It really is very funny, yeah. That's the reason I'm either doing political rants or sending absurd things and funny things. But I try to avoid kittens as much as possible.
There is a limit to the whole, so Derek's still got his arms folded, but that's okay.
Oh dear, challenging. He's saying, come on, entertain me.
it's all right.
I've seen Monday night audiences like that in theatre, when they sit there with their arms folded saying, come on, entertain me, come on, make me laugh. You know, you get that sometimes.
And that, in a nutshell...
I don't think you're that funny. Come on, you think you're funny, but I don't think you're very funny. I may have missed it. I don't think he's funny, do you, love? No, I don't, love. No, you see, that's how it goes. I've been there.
And in a nutshell, that's the report. That's the sort of feedback I've had from some of the reporting continuity and change people. I think, what's going on here? Never mind. It's okay. I can deal with it. You know, podcasts. That's
indeed,
the way
we've all got skins like rhinos. We've got in the business, haven't we, Alex?
Well, that's part and parcel of the rich tapestry. Philip, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I always do, and it's always far too short, and I must get up to actually come into studio with you and do a proper programme, and I'd love that.
What do you think, Emma? Shall we have Philip Hurwood up in the very near future, in the studio again?
I think so.
Yay! And of course, Philip Hurwood, please, he will return, and just for poodle lovers the world over...